Welcome back to the Don't Stop Me Now podcast, where being negative can be a good thing and being positive can turn the world against you. Hello, I am your HIV positive host. My name is Jennifer Levon, and this is episode 103, and it is currently the night of the Oscars. I just had that on downstairs, but I was quickly bored by it. And then when I think of everything that's going on in Gaza, it just honestly makes me feel really bad that we're doing this, that we're having these award ceremonies. I don't know. Like, I'm so over it. Like, I've been watching these since I was a kid. I think it's time to wrap it up. I really do. Movies aren't really a thing anymore. I don't know. I just think these award shows are just kind of gross, and everybody participating in them with their really fancy clothes and their makeup and their I'm better than all of you kind of attitude and just the fame, and I don't know. Feels like it's just like everybody's famous now. Everybody's famous on TikTok. It's like these people that still do the Oscars and all of that, it just feels not as special anymore. I feel like so many people have hit celebrity status. That shouldn't even matter anyways, but I'm just like so, I don't know. It just felt gross watching everyone. I don't know. I know people want accolades for their work and recognition. That all makes sense. But just the whole setup, and it's kind of outdated as far as I'm concerned. The beginning music and the in between the speakers, the music, it all feels very old fashioned, like from another era, but it's still here. I don't know. I'm just very like not into it anymore. I could totally care less. But yeah, it feels very insensitive to some of the things that are going on in the world. I mean, I guess there's always been bad things going on in the world while these, you know, ceremonies and award shows continue on in the United States. It's just kind of embarrassing. Yeah. So, I'll probably see stuff on my Instagram as I scroll through, and that will be interesting to me, but I just don't feel like watching it. Okay. Oh, I don't have my mic on. Let's see if it'll work now. I knew I was forgetting something. Yeah. I had plugged these in for YouTube. Let's see if I get a green button. I don't even know if it's going to work because these were not charged. So I apologize, YouTube. I mean, this is not the highest quality show, you know? It's just me figuring it out here, but I forgot to charge these. So I don't think this is even on. I think you're just going to have to hear me from the mic on my phone. Let's see if that does any. Oh, look, I got a green light. Okay. I guess it is working. All right, this should be better. This should be better. Hold on, get it clipped on there. It's hard to clip it. Okay, there we go, there we go. So let's see, what's new? Let's see, I've taken a long-term sub job for it's like independent study, and I have junior high kids. I have a caseload of like 16 or 17 kids. I meet with them once a week with their parents. So it's like anywhere from 3 to 5 meetings a week or a day. And then trying to like figure out the work that they need to do next. And then like taking in the work that they've already done and keeping that. And like, there's all these little things that you have to follow because it's independent study and we could get audited. And anyways, I don't know when the teacher's coming back, so they just asked me to stay indefinitely at this point, so I'm doing it. Like, why not? So that's happening. I went on a nice date Friday night with a man who was 35, and you know, it's funny, he only had face pictures, and he had sent me a body picture, but it wasn't of his face, it was just the body, and I saw like this line down at the bottom of his abs. I mean, his abs were incredible. And I'm like, that looks like they're, maybe he's superimposed, because I've had this happen to me before. I've been catfished before, obviously. Like everyone's been catfished on Tinder. But anyways, I just didn't believe that that was really his body. It was too perfect. And I'm thinking, okay, that line that I see, maybe he superimposed somebody else's abs. And so when I met him, he was definitely, I could tell, like, even though he was fully clothed, was a lean guy, muscular, I would say, just a smidge taller than me, handsome. I don't know that I would like he would turn my head in general, like, but just because we had a date together and I got to know him and I was talking to him, and just like there was like that, you know, we were there for a shared event of getting to know each other. He became very attractive to me very quickly. And I was curious about the abs. I did ask him, you know, he let me stand up and give him a hug, like in the beginning, just to prove that it was his body. But like, he's like, feel it. Yeah, feel it. I'm like, okay. So over his clothes, I did. Of course, we were in public. But so I told him that I had thought that he had, and then when I really felt his abs later, I did get to feel them later over his shirt. They felt like he had ribs on his stomach. I was like, okay, you were not lying. I'll tell you what I thought I saw. And because it looked like there was this line of demarcation at the bottom of his like lower abdomen, and it almost looked like, again, superimposed abs might have been put on this picture. Like, I wasn't totally sure. He was cracking up. He's like, no, I have a scar there from, oh, what do you call it? The thing, the rupture. I'm like, the only word that's coming to mind is hysterectomy, and I know obviously it's not that, appendicitis. And so he, you know, I guess he had it back in the day when he was very young, like 10, when they didn't have such quick, I don't know, I don't think it ruptured, but he said it took like, did he say 3 months? I feel like he told me it took him 3 months to get over it. Anyways, the technology today is totally different. You can get over an appendicitis very quickly, but it's an appendicitis scar. And I was like, and, you know, the picture was a little shattered, so I wasn't totally sure, but no, it was his real abs. So anyways, we had a great date and chit-chatted a whole bunch, and something came up about social media, and he said that he just really feels like if, you know, he hasn't been in a long-term relationship in 6 years. So I guess since he was 29, and like I haven't been in one for 3 years. But he said, you know, what he feels like for a relationship, he thinks phones are the worst. And like, if you're gonna be in a relationship, you basically have to get rid of all your social media. And I agree. I do agree to that. I understand that. So he doesn't have any social media. So I was like, didn't want to say anything about mine at that actual moment because I have a lot of social media. And so I didn't say anything about it. I was just listening and stuff. But I do agree that phones are very detrimental to relationships. So I did add that. But I was telling him that I saw something on a TikTok. It was just something really just mundane. It was in the midst of our conversation. He goes, oh, so you have a TikTok? And I was thinking, what is he? Yeah, like, oh shit, does he know my secret? I was like thinking, why did he say it like that? So I played dumb. I'm like, well, I mean, I saw it on TikTok. He goes, yeah, but don't you have to have a TikTok to like watch TikToks? I'm like, yeah, I guess so. So I'm like still thinking, God, what? And I don't know why I couldn't just play dumb and say, yeah, I have a TikTok. Like, we all have to sign up and get a TikTok to like watch them. But I knew I had a secret, so I just didn't like know how to react appropriately. And part of me was like, does he know? I like it was just weird how he questioned me on that. So I went to show, he wanted to see something on my Instagram. He said, just show me now, show me. Like, it was weird. So I brought up my Instagram. God, now that I'm talking about it, I almost feel like I was set up. And I went to go to my Jennifer Lee Vaughn one, but I really didn't want to show him that one because it has my last name on it. And I didn't really want him knowing my last name yet for all of those reasons, because of the social media stuff and obviously my diagnosis. And it's before I had a chance to really get to know him and share what it is. So I bring up my Jennifer Vaughn Instagram, and by accident, I hit that because I was nervous. I hit the button that switched me right over to my HIV account. And it, like, I literally was showing him my phone. And then I'm like, oh, no, not that one. And he goes, oh, you have more than one? And I was like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting myself caught all over the place. So I was showing him pictures of me and Joey when we went to Louisiana. And he goes, so why were you in Louisiana? I mean, I will tell you, this guy knew how to ask questions. I mean, it wasn't like an issue at all. He knows how to have a conversation. And I said, well, God, I was just thinking, I don't want to just keep making stuff up. Like, I mean, if he's going to keep asking questions, I mean, I guess he really wants to know more about me. So I think like it's now or never. And I was kind of bummed because I thought, well, this is going to come out now and this might just change everything, the trajectory of the date. Any way he may have felt prior to meeting me, any way he may have felt up until that point, it may now be different because I'm gonna tell him, you know, my story. So I said, well, I wasn't planning on telling you this now. I was, you know, it's not something I would put on my Tinder, but I, you know, might as well. Here we go. So I basically just say, look, like six, it was 8 years ago. 8 years ago, I got really sick. I kind of could have died had it been, you know, many years earlier. It's hard for me to say when I'm telling somebody face to face that I'm, you know, interested in that I have HIV. It's hard to say those letters. It really is. It's easy to say I got really sick. Somebody gave me something. I take treatment. You know, I'm fine today. What I have is not anything I can give you. Like, all of those things are easy to say. But once you say those three letters, you know that the whole conversation is different and they are listening and trying to process what you're telling them. But you don't really know how much they're even taking in, what kind of shock they're going through at that moment. Whether they think you're now a disgusting person, that you're, you know, somebody who isn't trustworthy because I didn't tell him this from the very get-go, even though it's not necessary to. But, you know, you wonder all those things while you're now going to divulge to them, you know, the story and all the important parts that you feel you need to say when I was completely unprepared for this conversation. I don't know why, but my hair is really bugging me. So yeah, I was not ready to tell him this. It wasn't anything I'd planned on saying on the first date. So I think I was kind of all over the place. And I don't know. I just felt like it was probably not going anywhere anymore. And we talked about like where he lived and that I have a son and that, you know, he can't come over to my place. You know, if we wanted to do any making out or whatever, but he lives like a half an hour away and the evening was already, it was already like 9 o'clock. We'd met at like, no, it was around 8:30. We met at 6:30. So we'd already spent a couple hours talking. And then he excused himself to go to the restroom and to close out the tab. And I thought, he's gonna bolt. Like, that's my first thought. Even though he had questions and didn't seem like he seemed interested, he didn't seem like he was running anywhere. I think I even asked him, I hope you're not afraid of me. And he said, no, I'm not. Like, I was like, okay, well, I think we're good. But then when he got up to like close the tab out, I thought, well, maybe, I mean, he did ask me if I wanted another drink, but I didn't. We were at Beer Mule is the name of the place, and it's all beer and ciders and stuff. So I had had a cider and he had a beer. So I thought, I'm just going to drink the rest of my drink really fast while he goes to the bathroom, and then I'm going to meet him as he comes out. Sorry, I'm blind and I can only barely see myself in my camera, and I feel like my hair's doing weird things. It's because I look back at other videos and I'm like, oh my God, it looked so weird when I turned my head and it was all choppy right there. Anyway, for people on the that are just listening, I know this is not pertinent information. So he goes to the bathroom. I kind of walk towards where the line is, and then he walks up and we start to walk out. I thought he'd already taken care of the bill. And so as we're walking out, he goes, oh, you finished your drink? And I said, yeah, I mean, if you were done, I might as well just finish mine. And I said, plus you said you were gonna, you know, go close out the bill and go to the bathroom. So I figured I'd just finish it really fast. He says, oh my God, the bill. He goes, I forgot to close the bill out. So he gets in line to do that. I go to the bathroom and I'm thinking in my head, and I call my girlfriend Kira, or not call her, but I talk to her through voice message on WhatsApp, and I said, I think it's done. I think it came out about my diagnosis. You know, I talked about it. Now I feel really like I think he's not interested anymore. I don't think this is going to go anywhere. So we walk out to my car, and he said, well, so are you like, are you tired? Were you going to go home? Or like, what's your plan now? And I said, well, I don't know. What's your plan? I said, did you still want to hang out? And he goes, I do. He goes, do you? And I said, well, yeah. And so we kind of just stood there and talked at the back of my car. And oh, hi, if you're listening to this, I didn't tell him I had a podcast, but I mean, I told him about YouTube and stuff. I mean, I don't even know if he'll find it. I did say something about my 16 HIV AIDS symptoms, so he could have looked up that video, who knows, and found it. So yeah, I didn't want to tell him all the social media I had, since he's not really into social media. It makes people that do social media look crazy. So, you know what I mean? From the outside, from those that aren't into it, don't do anything with social media and don't follow it, then it makes those that do it almost look like, you know, like we're nuts. So we keep talking in the back of my car, and now all of a sudden it's cold. I'm like feeling the cold, and I'm like having whole body shivers, and I'm not sure if it's because I'm nervous, because I realize now that he wasn't trying to run away, and like maybe he's going to stick around. I'm not sure. But he said, well, why don't we get in the car? I mean, I have a brand new car. Like, yeah, let's get in it. I mean, I've got a heater in there and heated seats and everything. So, and I love my car. So we get in my car and I decide to move to a different location, because where we were parked, there was a bright light like right in through the window, and it was like blinding. So I said, let's, you know, I parked to a different location nearby. So we start talking, and, you know, prior to us meeting, we had sent each other some sexy pictures. And so I knew a bit of what he looked like. He knew what I looked like, most of me, not all of me, but a lot of me. And he had asked about my, my boobs, if they were real. And I said that they were not. And I said, well, I don't, you want to feel them? And he goes, I do. So he did. And I was kind of like, you know, well, what do I do now? 'Cause we're just, you know, you're just filling me up, and I really want to kiss him. So I'm assuming that that kiss is coming real soon, because obviously you're grabbing my boob. He was very impressed with how they felt. He said, I can't believe they're not real. He goes, they feel totally real. He goes, every other set of implants I've ever felt like feel like they're going to break if you squeeze them too hard. He goes, yours are like really soft and normal feeling. I said, I know, it's the implant. I guess it was like a gummy bear, and I don't even know what it was, but it's from 2009. They're in great shape. They feel normal. I'm very happy with them. So anyways, so I lean in to kiss him, because it just felt, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't have, but I thought it was like, that's where it was going. Like I misread the whole situation. He wouldn't kiss me back. It was just pecs. He was not going there. And I was like, okay. And then he said something to the effect that, you know, we're too old to be making out in a car. And I was like, well, that is true. So I was all good with that. So we didn't do any more of that, but there was a little bit more touchy-feely stuff. I mean, yeah. I mean, we both were physically like wanting each other, but there was nowhere to go. So he asked me a couple times, you know, looking back, of course, I'm mentioning the kissing thing, 'cause I'm wondering, did that have anything to do with my diagnosis? Is he weirded out now and that he's afraid? Like, does he not get, I don't know, you know? So that's in my head, but then he asked twice if there was any way to sneak him into my house, if my, you know, even though my son was there, I was like, no, I cannot do that. So, he told me when he got home and said he had a great time. And I said, you know, I had a great time too. And then we had some fun picture sharing again, and it's been a couple days. I haven't heard anything. So I don't know. The plan was to see each other this Thursday, and we shall see. We shall see. I hope to see him, because I like talking to him, and yeah, he was just nice. He was like, he has a job. He, you know, has his own place. He's intelligent. He was funny. He knew how to carry a conversation. And of course attracted to him. And I know I'm older than him. But it didn't feel like it. I really felt like we were the same age. I know I'm quite a bit older than him. He's 35, but I don't know. I didn't feel this big age gap hanging out with him. It just didn't feel like it. It felt pretty like, okay. So we shall see. My favorite, who I do talk about here and there, I don't know what I said last about him. I think I talked about Valentine's Day and him coming over. That's the last time I've seen him. There's been no other contact since. I don't know what's going on with him. I did talk about that in my last podcast. We talked like that, and that Saturday night after that, when he had come over, and then That's it. We just haven't talked. He wrote to me like a week ago or 2 weeks ago. Like tomorrow will be 2 weeks ago. Just said, "How are you?" And that was it. That conversation went nowhere. So, the ball is in his court, obviously, but I think I was there for a reason when this relationship ended with him and his girlfriend, which is what happened the first time I met him. And yeah, I'm kind of bummed about all of that. I was really, I was there to help him get over stuff. And yeah, it wasn't, it's like, it's funny because he talks about having like an anxious, like that anxious attachment and having like issues with abandonment. And I'm like, yeah, that's like kind of exactly the position I'm in when I'm with him. And like the abandonment thing, like he full on did that to me. So, I mean, I don't get it because I feel like he really understands people and how to treat them. And I feel like when he is, like, if you're on my close friend story, you see the way he's hugged me. When he comes to visit me, I don't know. Like, I don't get it. I don't get why he's so quiet, but whatever. I guess that's the end of that. Okay. So let's move on and talk about Hydea. So Hydea Broadbent was an advocate, activist living with HIV, born with it, and she was on Oprah years ago when I was, I don't know, I was probably in college when Hydea was on. And I vividly remember that episode. I never missed one episode of Oprah. She was a child. She was, a child living with HIV and had AIDS. And this is really prior to good treatment. She'd been sick many times. Like she'd had pneumonia and fungus in her brain. Like she'd gone through a lot. She knew Magic Johnson. She knew Elizabeth Glazer's son, Jake. They were part of like I think there's a Magic Johnson Foundation, or maybe it was this the Elizabeth Glazer Pediatric AIDS Foundation. I remember seeing her in pictures with Jake and Magic Johnson and her. It was like, oh, it was a camp they'd gone to for Magic had a camp for kids with HIV. Anyway. And I had her on my podcast. You can find it. It's here. I'll put the link in my bio. Somebody on Facebook, I'm not going to say the name, but she had kind of ranted on Facebook that anybody who's talking about Hydea who was not close to her, didn't do enough for her, and you shouldn't be exploiting her name now and her death for people to like for clicks or whatever. That is certainly not what I'm doing. I'm talking about Hydea because I did know her, through advocacy. She was on my podcast. She's a name that everybody knew. I mean, I talk about HIV. Like, it only makes sense that I talk about her and what happened. I don't know for sure what happened, but I don't think so. I don't think it's really been reported how she died. All I know is that, and I did say in one of my podcasts that she'd been very ill, that she was in the hospital and she was on life support, and that she was, and then, the next time I heard is that she was doing better. And she was like, there was a video of her dad like trying to get something together for like a GoFundMe. And I could hear in the background yelling at her, it's her adopted father, yelling at him to like, no, it's this. They need to know this. Like, tell the people this or whatever. So she was being vocal and actually sounded kind of annoyed with him. So she was like, better for sure. And then all of a sudden, I wake up. I don't know. It's probably been 2 weeks at this point, and I read that it was the first thing on my Instagram that she had died. And I know she's been through a lot. I will say that. And that's been reported. She's been through a lot with her life, with her diagnosis. She was on treatment from the time that she could be on treatment. I don't know what has gone on in the most recent time with her. There's a lot of reasons why people go off treatment, and a lot of factors can come into play, and I'm not going to speculate, but I don't think she was on treatment. That's my guess, but I don't know. There's not really anything out there. She did not die. There's no way that she died from AIDS while she was on treatment. That is not possible. I just want people to know that is not possible. When you're on treatment, you're not going to, it's not going to turn into AIDS. You're not going to succumb to this virus when you're on treatment. The treatment is perfection. That's not going to happen. So there is that. But I don't know what happened. But I wanted to read this article from Rainier Simmons. Did I do it again? Simons, sorry. He's an ADAP, AIDS Drug Assistance Program blog guest coordinator, and he is one of the men that I met in Louisiana. So I thought I would read this about Hydea because he's an amazing writer, and I haven't even read it yet. This is a cold read, so bear with me if I stumble, but this will give you a better insight into her life. So Hydea Lauren Broadbent came into the world on June 14th, 1984. Yeah, I was 14. So by the time she was on TV, I was probably 20. So she was around six. We'll see. It'll probably come up in this article. And the sun set on her life on February 20th, 2024. So she died February. Today is March 10th. So yeah, it's been about 20 days. Having been born with HIV, she literally spent her entire life as an advocate for HIV/AIDS prevention and awareness. Hydea was diagnosed with HIV at a time when HIV was a death sentence. I'll face the camera here. Before the advent of the antiviral medication available today, and when HIV and AIDS stigma and fear ran high due to the unknown. As a child, the doctors predicted she would only have a lifespan of a few years, yet Hydea defied the odds and lived 39 full, powerful years, dedicating her life to making change. Normalcy and compassion were what Hydea desired and were the messages she... Oh, what is that word? Promulgated? I think he meant propagated? I don't know. I've never heard of that word. Promulgated? Okay, it's a new word for me. When she was 7 years old, during a Nickelodeon news special, she told Irvin Magic Johnson, "I want people to know that we're just normal people." HIV/AIDS carried a dark stigma during Hydea's earliest years, as it was viewed as an intravenous drug user or gay men's disease. Before Hydea's journey, Ryan White had to literally fight for the right to attend public schools in Indiana, far away from Hydea's home of Las Vegas, Nevada, before he died in 1990. Even though she was able to start public school, she endured travesties and abuses no child should have had to process. One time in kindergarten, a teacher, aware of her HIV status, sprayed Clorox bleach on her when she sneezed. And that incident, Hydea was homeschooled with tutors until she started junior high school. I did not know that. That's sickening. Wow. Okay. Hydea was born with HIV in 1984. I can't read this. I need a brighter light. There we go. But was not diagnosed until the age of three. She was adopted at 6 weeks of age before HIV testing was normalized. Hydea's birth mother was denied custody due to drug addiction. Hence, Hydea ended up in the adoptive system. Hydea's adoptive parents had her tested when they were notified by health officials her birth mother had given birth to another child, that she and the child were HIV positive. By age five, Hydea's condition had progressed to AIDS. She was one of the first pediatric patients treated with AZT. Rugby Lucas, an infectious disease investigator in Clark County, where Vegas is located, remembered Hydea, stating, "We had to learn how to treat her because the adult medication was too strong." Anthony S. Fauci remembers, Dr. Fauci, remembers treating Hydea at the National Institute of Health, NIH. Regarding her life, he stated, "Her accomplishments are substantial." Hydea touched many lives, both domestically and internationally. She traveled around the world spreading awareness about HIV and AIDS, advocating for treatment and care, and promoting prevention through abstinence and safe sex practices. She is well known for her activism and high-profile public speaking moments such as when she was on the Oprah Winfrey Show at age 11. Her passion and mission also gave her a platform on shows such as Good Morning America in 2020. Hydea was featured in many publications such as the New York Times, People, National Geographic, Ebony, Paws, and was even on the cover of TV Guide. Her knowledge, poise, and personable nature opened doors for many speaking engagements. She spoke to audiences singularly and as a part of panels at institutions such as Morrow's School of Medicine, Duke University, and UCLA. In 2006, Hydea was a speaker at the International AIDS Conference. Hydea gave herself selflessly while simultaneously dealing with her own humanity. As she spoke to the world as a child, she still dealt with serious health issues such as blood infections, brain fungus, and heart issues. While investigating the demands of being a very public figure, she had to deal with her personal life. She expressed how hard it was to date, even given her diagnosis, yet was optimistic when finding love and being married one day. During her teen years, at the height of her speaking and advocacy, she dealt with depression and... She dealt with depression and perfection anxiety. Oh, to the point of resenting being such a public figure and speaking to the world. She stated during an episode of Where Are They Now on Oprah's own network that she had to find her inner peace. In 39 years, Hydea experienced more life than most people could handle or even comprehend, no matter how long they've lived. She experienced HIV and AIDS from the very beginning before there were many treatments. Through the advent of antiretroviral drug cocktails, her life and message touched millions internationally. Hydea represented children born with HIV, was the face of African-American women living with HIV, and was a pioneer who forged her way. Just like Ryan White, she was once quoted as saying, "With all that we know about the virus, it is clear to me that contracting HIV and AIDS today is a choice, and we can't allow anyone the power to make that choice for us." Hydea's legacy is a life fulfilled and a continuing burning torch of compassion and hope to continue to be passed along until we one day conquer HIV and AIDS. I know that a lot of people feel that she had been used by the wheel, so to speak, the HIV AIDS like wheel of, you know, just throwing people in here and, you know, they take advantage, basically. The system takes advantage of all of us. Like, we don't get paid for any of this stuff, like the very little, just, you know, pennies. And just to know that she had really made an impact on Oprah's show. I know a lot of people feel frustrated with Oprah. I'm not a fan of Oprah anymore after the whole Maui thing. I can't stand Oprah. But anyways, like, a lot of people feel like, yeah, that show really helped Oprah. And, you know, how did that help Hydea? You know, I don't know. I think that people feel like Oprah could have done more for her. I mean, well, shit. Magic could have done more for her. A lot of people could have done more for her. That doesn't mean that she, you know, doesn't need to be a responsible for her own life and all that. But I know there's a part of her that felt taken advantage of as a child and then growing up with this and being like this poster child, but really struggling. I mean, we talk about this on my podcast. I know that she really struggled with how to generate income. I mean, it's like your Hydea Broadbent. And she was, I know at one point she was trying to get a job and she was going to work at a hotel, at the front desk of a hotel. And I know that some people say, yeah, but that's a job, you know, whatever. But I'm sure when you've done all that she's done and then that's where you end up, it's like, that's got to be really hard. And I know that there had been like a podcast that she talked about that she was going to do. My son knows I'm doing a podcast. Oh my God, Owen. My son called me and that just stopped my recording. Anyways, she was supposed to do a podcast. I know when I'd interviewed her, I thought she was going to be living in LA by then, and she'd been talking about this. So it was like another, I'm sure, something that somebody had told her would happen, and it was another thing that she was let down about, because that never did come to fruition. There was never a podcast that happened. So, and I know she was really excited about it. I have nothing but good things to say about her. She was really sweet. You know, I mean, she was a delight. Like, if you see her on my podcast, like, it's also on YouTube, you can see how sweet she was and generous with her time. And, yeah, I just, it's tragic. It really is. Life is fragile. And, I just wanted to say that, I'm sorry that this happened to her. And, that's all. I just wanted to touch on her story some, so people knew that I was aware, because I had lots of messages that day that she had passed away, and I, of course, it was all over Instagram. So I think I will end with that for now, and hopefully we'll be back sooner than later. And it's Sunday night. My kids are downstairs. I'm going to try to go hang out with them a little bit, and I hope that you are all doing well, and we'll see you soon. Wish me luck. Let's hope he calls me back. Let's hope he texts me. Let's hope I have some good news. I will say, this thought crossed my mind because snowboarding came up and surfing. And I will say that my ex, who cheated on me, really did me a favor by getting me involved in all these sports, you know, skateboarding, snowboarding, and surfing, because it is working in my favor when I meet men, because one of those sports they usually know how to do, and they like love that I know how to do it too. So prior to knowing my ex, I know, of 6 years, I didn't know how to do those things, but they're very they work out really well when I go out on dates. So thanks for teaching me all those sports. The men that I meet like it. Okay, guys, have a great week, and we'll be back soon. Bye bye now. If you'd like to be notified for any of my upcoming podcasts, be sure to subscribe. If you'd like to help this girl out, then please rate, review, and share my show. Thanks, guys.